says in 2 Peter 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God in Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Lord, your word is telling us today, your spirit speaks to us today, that nothing can hold us, God. The grave clothes came off at salvation for us when Jesus rose from the dead and granted us salvation and gave us this genuine inheritance that gave us, God, the salvation from heaven that belongs to us if we take it, if we want it, if we receive it, if we live in it, if we walk in it. Lord, that's your goodness, that's your glory. We're designed to carry your goodness and your glory, God. We can't with grave clothes on. They have to be shed, they have to come off, which is why we feel stuck. God, you're calling us to move. And you say to us, beloved, follow the Lamb. Beloved, follow the Lamb. Beloved, follow the Lamb. Lord, your word says that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When he was following the way of the cross before the cross, when he was following what he needed to do by being baptized in the River Jordan, God, by listening to you, by responding to you, by obeying you, being baptized in water and baptized in your spirit, and you spoke to all of us. And you said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, God. And then in the transfiguration, God, before he went to the cross, Lord, you said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. God, we're listening today. We're listening today. You came, Jesus, to make a way for us. You came, Jesus, to remove us from feeling or being stuck in any way. Because the genuine inheritance that you gave us, when you rose from the grave, it belongs to us. Oh God, you're showing us the way to live for you. You're showing us the way to please you. You're showing us why we were created and what we're to do with that. You know, there's a reason why our spirit is responding today, beloved. We're responding to the Lord saying, pursue me, pursue me. I've been pursuing you, pursue me. Here I am. Don't be complacent. Don't be complacent. This is the season, this is the time to say, Jesus, here I am. Behold, I'm doing a new thing, he says. Press on toward the high calling. Press on, press through, press on toward the high calling in Jesus Christ. Press on. Don't let go. Come out of the grave. Throw those grave clothes off. Step in. The new wine is here for you today. It's new wine. The Lord says, shed those skins. It's new wine. Shed those skins. I want to pour in the new wine. We need new wine skins. Don't go backwards. Go forward, contending for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. It's new wine time. It's new wine time. Show us, Lord. Show us. I want to carry your glory. You've been showing us your glory. We want to carry it. We want to walk it. We want to walk the highway of holiness, God, and pursue you in righteousness, because you did it for us already, and nothing could hold you down. Nothing. Thank you, Jesus. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. For it's God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, so that we will walk in the manner that's worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the true knowledge of God. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Jesus, so we could be reconciled through the death of Jesus, so he could present us before him. I believe, and I was just reading a few of the verses that I want to mention in a bit, that if we agree with God and say, I am that beloved son or daughter, as I'm engrafted in to the cross and resurrection, you are my beloved. I am your beloved. When you pursue me, you'll know me, and you'll know the freedom that you dance for, that you hope for, that you want. You'll know that freedom, and in that freedom is life. We continue to receive the impartation from heaven. There's a picture of two people that we used to know that we'll know again. They're in Asia. They're in the first picture above. I want you to look at it as we still receive this from God. The girl on the left, her name is Athi. That's Pastor Benjamin in the middle. And the boy is Chan, or Chan, C-H-A-N. He was in the boys' home since 1998. He's 30 now, actually. And he never left Pastor Benjamin's side. If you weren't there, it doesn't matter. I want you to see it. I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it. There's a reason we're looking at it. Our life is but a vapor. Our life needs to be lived to the fullest so that we can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to reach on for that high calling, to press on for the mark. We haven't attained it yet. Paul hadn't attained it yet. Athi was in the children's home that we went to back in 2009 and after that. And Chan, I believe he was still there. You may think, well, what does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with us. Because the Lord is doing a good work in us. And he says, I'm going to bring it to completion. And I'm going to do it maybe in a way that doesn't feel so swell. But I'm going to do it because you asked me to. You asked me to purify your heart. You asked me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Huh. Okay. Well, we want to see him, don't we? These young people want to see him. They were rescued out of slavery, labor trafficking, child trafficking. And then they were thrown to the wolves again after they had been rescued out. Was their faith stuck? What happened? To see them again, serving Jesus, wanting Jesus, speaks of the imperishable work of the cross. It speaks of the genuine faith that Jesus offers us. It speaks of that. It speaks that no trial is too big, no hole is too deep. There is nothing too great that Jesus doesn't say there's a way of escape. There is a way that we can walk and not stumble. And he gives us the roadmap. He gives us the way. The only reason that we feel stuck, honestly, is that something holds us back, because Jesus doesn't hold us back. And we're discovering more and more what that is. And then we can sing and praise and dance and declare and have a great morning in worship, which I love. And this is true. Everything has been sung out is true. Everything is true. And everything inside of our spirit is like roaring. That's why Beth Ann was roaring at the end. It's like her spirit's going, yes! Okay? And God is saying to us, that yes is inside. That yes needs to come out. That yes needs to look like something. That yes belongs to you. That yes and amen is ours. This is like, whoa, my gosh. Rocket science? No. Christianity 101? Yes. Seriously. Seriously. You know the goodness of God is the glory of God, and he's coming in a big way. I've heard many people say, well, you can't tell anybody about that. I heard even a recent prophet who left a legacy of all kinds of things to share with people, just went home to be with the Lord. And he said, it's no use telling people about that because they won't believe it. It's no use really spending a lot of time about that. They won't receive it. It's going to happen. The Spirit of the Lord is going all over the world, and he's increasing everywhere. And he's saying, those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, they're going to be caught up in that wave, and they're not going to be crashed down to their face. In worship, yes, but not in destruction. The Lord is trying to help us. He is trying to save us. He's trying to prepare us to prepare the way for his soon and coming return. And it's happening in India. It's happening here. And he's saying, Listen to my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen, because sin is so strong. If we don't understand it, if we hide it, if we kid ourselves, if we don't know what it is or pretend to not know what it is, or just feel like, I don't know. There's something that's holding us back, and it's involving anything that's not from heaven. And that's the truth for me. That's the truth for you. So he gives us these seasons to just completely let him clean us out and purify us in the way that we say we want. Even if it was a long time ago. He never forgets. Purify me, God. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Renew a right spirit in me. He doesn't forget that. We might, but he doesn't. This is where we are. This is the season we're in. He says, know your times, know your seasons, know what's going on. If you can grab it, you can have it. If you can see it, it belongs to you. If there's something that's uncomfortable and you stand against it and you say, no, I don't want it, it'll leave. It has to, because that's the way of the kingdom. Okay? I'm going to go through some verses here shortly to support all this. But this is the truth, because it's in the Word, and this is who Jesus was and is. He's not looking for anyone who's not on fire to remain in a place of not being on fire. And he wants us to understand what it means to be on fire. You don't just, come on, get the fire. Okay, I read about some guy, some sheriff over the weekend. Some arsonist threw a lit can of turpentine or something, and it was on fire, threw it at him and burned his clothes and burned him, 20% of his body. What? That's not the kind of fire God's talking about. He's talking about a refining fire. And that refining fire is huge and it's big. And he's saying, where are my people who are saying, refine in me. Whatever you want to do, I'm ready. I'm ready. But what its intention is to produce great joy. Great joy, great peace, where we can grab onto it and say, that's my portion. That's who I am. Let's go. There's more. And when I'm not staying stuck, there won't be a place of stuck. We'll be helping others get out of stuck. That's why it's so strong in this season, in this place, because we talk about it and we believe it. Honestly, God's doing it right now. He's doing it in this season. If you said yes during this prayer time or during this worship time, yes, God, there will be the beginning of a wave. Now hear me, a wave of supernatural repentance that's released from heaven. And it is a gift. It is not something to run from. It's not something to roll your eyes about. It's not something to go, oh no, here we go again. No, it's not. It's cleansing and purifying for the goodness so we can live the full life. So we can live the full life, so we can run that race, and we can finish well. God is saying, I want you to finish well. I want you to finish well, meaning now, because we don't know our days. We don't know. And God says, this is the time, the highway to holiness that he talks about in Isaiah 35. There is only one highway, and there's only one way, and it's not the outward way of doing things. That just becomes the effect of what happens on the inside. That becomes the effect of the heart going on the inside. What's going on the inside? If you're stuck in pornography or you've had sexual falling, and that's happened in here, and it's probably still happening. I'm telling you, it is not the device. It is not going to be anything that's going to keep you from that. It's going to be an internal change. An internal change, not just saying, oh, I did it again, I'm sorry. Oh, I did it again, I'm sorry. Forgive me, God. I'll do better. It's the purifying of the heart, the motives and the intentions of the heart. That's what God wants us to preach. But we can't if we're not living it. We can't. Can't, because it's the purity of the heart that he's after. For me, first, I can't say these kinds of things without being on my face before the Lord saying, purify my heart. Show me, God. Show me. Here we go. And that becomes fun. And then you become a person who is just charging and roaring about the Lion of Judah. We can't help but sing to him, sing about him, but sing to him and worship him and engage the very Spirit of God. The very Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and we're engaging him in our worship. Oh my gosh. Is this hitting you? Oh my God. This is like, whoa, Jesus. Have we lost our way? Are we struggling? Okay, come on. Come on. What is it? Does this message make you mad? If it makes you mad, glory to God. It's so good. Because the Lord's exposing the very thing he wants to set you free from. This is the truth. I'm just a little person. I'm just a person. Just a messenger. But God doesn't want us to fool ourselves. He doesn't want us to just get all hyped up about something without being hyped up about someone. The someone is the goal. The prize is Jesus. Okay? He says, I want you to be conformed to me, Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not about Jesus. It's not just understanding what he thinks and feels. That's just part of the process. It's about gaining him. It's about gaining him. That's when discouragement goes. That's when you'll be an instrument of hope to somebody else and say, you know, that's discouragement. You don't want that. Let me show you the way out of that. And if you think you got a better way, go for it. But this is the way of the kingdom. This is the way of the kingdom. And it's like, oh man, I'm feeling bad again. It's like, oh my gosh. Take a look at these people. I got this today. I remember they were a lot younger. The girl on the left is a teacher. Been in very close contact, because we're going to Asia, with this man who has suffered a lot, but overcome. It's not the suffering, it's the overcoming. Not the suffering, it's the overcoming. When are we going to get to the point where we are not deciding our own life and our own schedules based on our own decision of what's going to work and how comfortable we'll be? How can we do this? And we plan our day that way. It's not working. It doesn't work. We'll go very slow. It is not the way of the kingdom. The way of the kingdom is different, but we won't find it until we are so immersed in the word, so immersed that the world will just won't be able to stick. And we won't like it. And we have to move away from it. We have to. And it might involve people. That's really hard. But it's okay. Because the Lord says, just say no. Just say no. Just say no. Because that's why he was able to get out of the grave. That's why he rose from the dead. The passionate fervor for the cross and the resurrection, that's what wins people to Jesus. This is what I want to tell you about Pastor Benjamin. Okay, he's going all over the Asia, India right now. And he's targeting the unreached people. Unreached. That means they haven't heard about Jesus. They don't know Jesus. And they're coming to Jesus by the droves. Why? Because he's preaching what we're saying. Because it's not my word. This is the word of the Lord around the world. He says, I'm coming soon and you need to be purified. Simple. Bottom line, I'm going to purify you. I want to purify you because you were designed to be presented to me, because this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. So we want to talk about suffering. We aren't right now. But suffering is obedience to Jesus. Obedience. That's what it is. And it might take the form of a jail, a literal prison. But if we're in a spiritual prison, the Lord says, I have a get out of jail free card, and it's yours, okay? You don't even have to go to free parking to get it, and it's not chance. You know what I'm saying? It's like it belongs to you. It's you get out of jail free, because I went there. That's our Jesus, but we have to know. We have to know how to present him. We have to love him so much that we have to understand what's at stake. The lives of these kids, they're not kids anymore, are at stake. The girl on the left, right now, she's a teacher. And when Pastor Jacob and others and his father are going around the world preaching, there's a, hey, Carr, wherever you are, come back and get this. There's a little video that's like 15 seconds long. Where'd she go? Let me just show it to you. I just saw it as I was coming in here. I want you to see this. Okay, there's a little, there's a video down here. One of those is a video. Can you find it? Do you see it? Go a little higher then, because he just sent it to me. Yes. Okay, I want you to see this man. This man is the father, the natural father, okay, of Pastor Benjamin. And he's sharing the gospel. And it's all in, you know, a different language, all in Hindi or whichever one at that moment, because he's out in the bush somewhere. This one right here, this language is the language of, here's Jesus, let's repent. Here's the one you need. Here's the one who saved you. Do you want him? Okay? I just want to show it to you because I just want you to get a grip. Because if we are so enamored with where we are right here, we're just going to live for, okay, I can really receive over here. So that's where I'm going to go because I can receive. The Lord wants us to receive truth wherever we are. Truth. What is the truth of the gospel of the kingdom? Why was this sent to me today? But I want you to see him. This man walks around every day looking for people he can share the truth of the gospel with. Every day. Well, that's India. That's warm. They can do that. No, I'm serious. Every day. And he's the one that brought the gospel of the kingdom to northern India. Look at the legacy. Look at the legacy. Look at the legacy. Man. Thank you, Jesus. Well, while he's doing that, or while we're getting that up, it's just a little video. It's just like a little tiny clip. I'm excited for what God's going to do. And I personally would hope that we will determine today I'm not going to be a baby any longer. Okay? A baby is someone who just needs a little bit of milk to help them get what they need. Right? And be completely dependent. I want to be dependent on Papa, but I would like to have the Word of God that is so strong in my heart that I can't live without the Word of God. And I'm going to make my decisions based on what's going on the inside of me. And I am going to see where idols are in my own life. So I'm not in charge of my own life anymore. That's where God wants us to be. I'm not in charge. It's that simple. Okay, here he is. We've been in that home many times. And if you've been overseas, you can play it. There he is. This is Pastor Benjamin's father.
जो कुछ विपरीत है सब हट जाएगा क्योंकि प्रभु रास्ता है सब रास्ता खुलेगा
to the day we die to the day we get to go home and be with Jesus we will be changed into the image to be conformed to the likeness of his son the prize is him Jesus is the prize these people never heard about Jesus did not know Jesus at all they all came to know Jesus and they were healed and they were delivered because the word is confirmed with thank you with signs and wonders, and God is saying, that's where we are. But if we're moving like molasses because we feel stuck, there's something in the way. And rather than get mad at the people who say that, look at it in the Word, and we'll get through that and let God remove it. That's what's going on in this season. So we're prepared as Jesus is preparing to come back, and we're living for that. That is like way cool. It is so great. The Lord is looking for lovers of his word. Will we love his word? I've been ministering a lot this week to a lot of different people, and I keep going to 1 Peter and 2 Peter on everything that I'm doing, and it's spilling into many other places, meaning in Scripture. But 1 and 2 Peter are so luscious because you're going to look at that and go, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, God, look at you. Look who you are. But he's looking for any of us who want to see him, to want to see who he really is. Do we want to see him? I want to travel all over the world, and we're going to Asia. We just got back from Brazil. We're going to keep going because we only have one opportunity in this life. And the Lord says, it's time. It's time to be able to have the proof in our spirit of that genuine faith because there are people dying, and they're not making it. And he's saying, where are you? Let's go. Let's do. And let's be so strong inside that we will know that the calling inside is from the Lord, expressed in different ways, but never without this, never without the understanding of why. It's not just I need to be trained up so I can serve God. It's understanding that we're here to please him and understanding what that means. We are here to please him. Went through the transfiguration. Mention what happened at his baptism. We're here to please him. Read you some other verses. Didn't finish any list. But we're here. We're here. When this ministry was started, we used to do a crazy drama that was 20 minutes long, basically. And it started out with, who made me and why am I here? If we're still wondering, why am I here? We're way back at beginning of Christianity. Honestly. Or we knew at one point, and the life got sucked out of us. And the Lord's saying, I want to separate the dross out of your life so I can purify you. Because that purification is going to ignite such a holy fire, a passionate fire. You'll be the one speaking to people saying, let me tell you the way. You feel stuck, been there, done that. Oh, here it is. Let's go. Here's Jesus. This is what he's looking for. He's looking for the fruit that remains, but not just quoting a scripture. Here's fruit that remains. Yes, I like John 15 too. No. It's embracing him in such a strong way that our passion is for him. And we're up in the morning throughout the day. And it's like, what? But it's not. I know. So what do we do about it? There's a way. We examine why. And then we do something about it without navel gazing. It's really simple. It's really, really simple. For me, I didn't say it was easy. I said it was simple. Oh, Jesus, you're good. You're really good. I want to read you something that I think will bless you before I release the children, because they need to hear this, okay? Your kids, your grandkids, and all of us, they need to hear this. Because I'm not that great when it comes to science and things like that. I can understand, but to articulate it, I'm not the expert. So, not that this person is, but let me just read to you about this purification process surrounding gold. Now, kids, listen to this one. And if you get it, explain it to your parents. Okay, this is really good. A close relationship with God is pure because only through such a relationship can anyone be empowered to keep the laws written on the heart. And you can bring that down to kid, you know, for a third grader, fourth grader to understand. But think about that. Okay, the ways of the Lord. A close relationship with God is pure. If your heart is pure, it won't desire to act in a way that dishonors Jesus. Period. That seems kind of simple. You stay away from porn sites on the internet. You don't wear provocative clothing and all the things that people get hung up and say, well, we shouldn't do this and we shouldn't do that. Okay? It's about the purity of the heart. It's going to change things. This is what I want to read to you. Gold. This is about refining gold. It's a process. It says gold has a beautiful yellow color, emitting a soft metallic glow. It is widely found in nature, but always in small quantities and rarely in a pure state. When purified, now listen to this, gold is soft, pliable, and free from corrosion or other substances. Let me read that sentence again. When purified, gold is soft, pliable, and free from corrosion and other substances. If gold is mixed with other metals, copper, iron, nickel, it becomes harder, less pliable, and more corrosive. This mixture is called an alloy. The higher the percentage of another metal, the harder the gold becomes. Conversely, the lower the percentage of alloy, the softer and more flexible it is. Immediately, we see the parallel. A pure heart before God is like pure gold. A pure heart is soft, tender, pliable. Sin is the added substance that turns our pure gold into alloy, hardening our hearts. This lack of tenderness creates a loss of sensitivity, which hinders our ability to hear the Lord's voice. Unfortunately, today, this is the state of too many who have a form of godliness, and I'm talking even about on-fire churches, quote-unquote. There's an on-fire church. There's an on-fire group. There's an on-fire messenger. There's an on-fire, and we look for the fire, but we don't know what to do. If we feel the presence of God and our arms are, you know, up and we feel good inside, it's like, okay, this is good, but what do I do? Why do I feel stuck now? Why do I feel that I'm not charged? This is the reason. Okay, so the enemy wants to discourage us, and the Lord's looking at the gold in our hearts, but he's pulling out the dross so that we can be refined in the fire. And the fiery furnace of trials and afflictions and difficult times, this is where it happens. This is where obedience is better than sacrifice. This is where holiness will be found, produced in us through obedience. Unfortunately, today, this is the state of too many who have a form of godliness, but not a tender heart that burns for Jesus. That's what's missing in any of us. Me, you, it's not going to be anything else that changes us other than that intimate exchange with Jesus. And his word is full of power. And he's going to show us how our hearts can become tender and burning. So the white hot love for God oftentimes has been replaced with a frigid, self-love. Only the refining fire will show the difference between the two. Another characteristic, let me just say this, Jesus is coming back for a church that's holy, without spot, blemish, or any impurity. Ephesians 5:27, a body of people whose hearts are unpolluted by the world's ways. Here's another characteristic of gold in its resistance. Now get this, because your kids are going to ask you at dinner if they're old enough. They're going to say, what was she talking about? Well, another characteristic of gold is in its resistance to rust or corrode. Even though other metals tarnish from atmospheric conditions, this does not affect pure gold in the same way. Brass, a yellow alloy of copper and zinc, though it resembles gold, does not behave as gold. The Lord's looking at our our behavior, which comes as a result of our heart being purified. Brass tarnishes easily. It has gold's appearance without possessing its character. In the church, we have brass vessels, those who have the appearance of gold, but they're not. Only the refining fire will show the difference between the two. Thank you, Jesus. And then to finish it up, a higher percentage of foreign substances in gold makes it not only harder, but more susceptible to corrosion and corruption. It's more easily influenced by the atmosphere of the world we live in. Presently, the world's ways have leaked into the church. We have become infiltrated by its culture, and thus we are tarnished. In America, the church's values are polluted with worldliness. Many are insensitive, and they don't realize the need for purification. I think that's America, but I think it's all over the world. Malachi 3:3 shows how Jesus will refine or purge his church from the influence of the world, just as a refiner purifies gold. In the refining process, gold is ground into powder and then mixed with a substance called flux. The two are then placed in a furnace and melted by an intense fire. The alloys or impurities are drawn to the flux and rise to the surface. The gold, which is heavier, remains at the bottom. The impurities or dross, such as copper, iron, zinc, combined with flux, are then removed. This is so good. What is the fire God uses for refining us? This is what the Lord was speaking to me about all this week. And I just saw it in this material that I just happened to pick up. Let me read it to you, and then we'll dismiss the kids, okay? This is in 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. It says, in this you greatly rejoice now, though for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved or distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it, your faith, is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that's a lot. I've just kind of poof. But because of the day, and we have the first class starting today for Killing Kryptonite, which is going to be awesome, and just encourage everyone who has signed up to be there and go, because the Lord wants to do something to penetrate our hearts using the Word of God over a period of time where it will settle and stay and not be pulled out or dismissed or missed. So there's a reason for the longevity of this class. It goes through December. But in between, the Lord is working on all of us because He has a plan. But in between that, let me say this, and I'm sure Josh would agree, there are still people dying and going to hell before the end of December. You see? We are in this process, and it's part of the refining process, which is really great. But I'm going to add another potential component to this process, when we dismiss the kids. So if you are with the kids today, the frontline kids, please get the rest of this message and listen to it. Because the Lord really was speaking very heavily about this to me, particularly last weekend and Monday throughout the week. But before that, we've been preaching this in Brazil and different places. But I'm going to give you just a little taste of that. It won't be very long. But I'm going to release the kids right now. But if you want to hear something, I believe, very profound, and you may think, well, I already do this. Praise the Lord. He's purifying all of us even more. And I believe if we have a lifestyle like this, which is my heart, my desire even more in the Word, we're going to see lasting changes, and you won't be able to hold yourself back at all, and nothing will stop you. Nothing. You will be so passionately on fire for Jesus in every way. We will look like different people to the ones around us even more. Okay? So children, go to your classes, and I have a few things I want to open your Bible to, and that's in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, are we ready for a little bit more? Oh, thank you. Yes. Oh, God is good. How many hungry hippos are in here? Hungry hippos for the Word of God. That was just a little taste. I love the Word of God so much. Oh, there's a chair. I didn't see it. Thank you. That's for you. I'm not a chair person. And it's good. Chairs are good. So, can I just pray here? Because I just really believe this is going to be a time that the Lord can use to bless us. And I just am asking that every distraction, anything the Lord isn't doing right now corporately, which is right up here through the Word of God, would just wait. So, Father, I'm just calling on you right now. Father, I just ask that you would prepare our hearts, and we bind every distracting spirit in Jesus' name in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay. I start writing down things, and it's just dangerous. I just, oh my gosh. But I love to write. But really, it's really just for me because I love Jesus. So, but I can just look at 1 Peter, okay? This is really good. I was ministering to someone this week, actually, through 2 Peter chapter 1, verse by verse, by verse by verse, because this person was so stuck, and this person has such a great heart. And this person was not experiencing the victory. And there was such a mindset change, heart change for this person who loves Jesus, travels around the world, is a world changer, but stuck. It's like, bah, why? Why? Let me show you the highway to holiness, the roadmap. Another way. It's not just one. But in this particular chapter, years ago, I dissected this, you know, when we were in Mozambique. And Carl remembers 2 Peter 1. Because he was touched by it and used it during a conference that we had out at Camp Wainoa a couple years ago. Remember? 2 Peter 1. And I recognize it because I know it well. And it's not that he used my material, I didn't write it, but it touched him, and so he's speaking from it. But I'm telling you, there's so much in 2 Peter 1 and 2 and 3. But if we can understand the genuine faith that we really have been given from God, if we understand who our God is, who Jesus is, we're going to trust him. We're going to say yes. That obedience is going to rise. Who made me? Why am I here? Who is this God? We've all asked that question, right? Some of us a little more, I was one of them. You know? Okay, so there. Me telling God, that was scary. But, you know, he designed me a little bit that way. So he understands me. And then he turned me upside down and said, now you're catching who I am. It's like, oh my gosh, sorry. Oh, you really are big. But then as I was ministering to this person through 2 Peter, and if it was you in here, believe me, there's been many people this week. So you're not the one. There have been many people this week, even outside of Frontline, in Brazil, other places, other countries. The Lord just keeps taking me back to 1 and 2 Peter. Not a verse, but who Peter was and what he was trying to get across. And even how Peter, in 2 Peter, was mixing his own message with Paul. I was just blown away by that. I've read it many times and know it to be true. But I was just like, MP, look again and release that again. That Peter and Paul, okay, the combo of Peter and Paul, who basically took care of Acts for us, half for one and half for the other in the book of Acts, if you read it and understand who was really being talked about and walked through and identified in Acts. That's a whole other teaching. But that's real. That's actually made known in 2 Peter. So Peter's clicking along, after 1 Peter, this is a good word. And then 2 Peter is like, wow, yes. And then at the end of 2 Peter, and in 1 Peter, there's this reference to Paul. One way or the other, either it's directly with his name as Apostle Paul, or it's about him and his life and who he was, how he breathed, what he taught. It's like, okay, yeah, this is like the whole enchilada. This is not like a little piece. So there's just something about these two books that are really special, that will tie in to Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians. Like, give me a book, I want to devour it. Good, do it. Stay in Philippians forever for the humility of God, humility of Jesus, for sure. But then read 1 Peter and 2 Peter and see how he pulls it together. So anyway, let's look at, because of time, let's look at 1 Peter. I'm going to only go through the first 8 or 9 verses or something, and then I'm going to touch on 2 Peter, and then we're going to call it a day, because we get to do this again at the Jacques. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, you can put it up if you would on the screen, NASB would be great. No, let's do Amplified, that's even better. I only have NASB though in front of me, so that's good. 1 Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, let's roll together here, to those who reside as aliens scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen. Okay? Now, if you're like, you know, most of us, we kind of get to the good stuff, get through 1 and 2, get through the first couple of scriptures. But if we take the first couple of scriptures and we want to get to know our God, you know, there's a good way to do this. There's a simple way to do this. Okay, I know, I need to lay down, I need to soak. And I need to just say, God, come to me. Yes. I need to do that. I need to worship God, and I need to fast, and I need to pray, and I need to do all these things. Yes. Okay, there's ways of the kingdom, not minimizing it, not joking about it. But if we'll read the word, employing the full counsel of God's will, the fullness of the kingdom, knowing that there is true knowledge, it's talked about, that we need to acquire. We need the knowledge of God. We need the spiritual knowledge, heart knowledge, that also is working for us in our minds, which is why we have to renew our mind daily, every day. We have to. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? And we don't want to be conformed to this world any longer, right? Because Jesus is the prize. Didn't we just say that? Isn't that Romans 12, 2? Oh, that's right. Romans 12, 1. I have to present myself. That's right. I need to do that because Paul urged me to do that. Present myself. Yes, I'll do that. I present myself. I feel stuck. What's the deal? Do you feel like that sometimes? It's like I know the verses, but it's not changing. What's going on? You know, this purification process that I've talked about here is not some little deal, which I talked about at the end of worship here. If you weren't here, you may want to get that because I think it's recorded and it'll be on there. But the purification process that we're in, it's for our good because we're here to please the Lord, because we're here to be conformed to Jesus. Jesus is the prize. It's intimacy with him. Oh, yeah, I know. I've heard that before. If that's not going on for whatever the reasons, we get to do it again and again and again, and we'll live our whole life in that process of purification because we haven't arrived. Paul knew he hadn't arrived. Peter knew he hadn't arrived. We're not arriving. It's a matter of the journey in that process with the fullness of the knowledge of God, maturity as our goal, so that we can fall more in love with Jesus and then tell the world. That's the simple way of saying it. That's the truth. But there are still people, you know, from India and other places or at the mall who don't know Jesus or who are kidding themselves thinking, man, I go to church, I do all this stuff, I'm really cool, you know. I love everything. I love life. That's great. But intimacy with the person, Jesus, that's our goal. That is our goal. That pleases Papa. And that's why he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He's your role model. Watch. And you'll become like him. Your motives will change. Your desires will change. Everything will change. Your behavior will change because you will be transformed on the inside. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But look at this second verse, or first verse. Oh my goodness. We get to reside as aliens, and we're chosen. Ha, I like it. Look at verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus. We get to obey Jesus. We're chosen to obey Jesus and to be sprinkled with his blood. Okay, that's nice. There you go. There's the gospel of the kingdom right there. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Okay, good. Huh. No, hang on those two verses, but don't just look at it and go, yep, I agree. Look at it and say, Lord, what part of that have I not seen? What part of that have I taken for granted? What part of that am I now recognizing that I didn't before because I was living for me? Not because I was a baby alone. Babies are dependent. They haven't sinned against their parents when they're crying for their bottle, okay? I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anything in our life, because we're all adults here, that has taken that place that Jesus had with the Father. Jesus had that place, that oneness with the Father. Papa and I are one. We're cool. Fist bump, fist bump. And it's not funny. It's the truth. And you get to become like him because you were chosen and you're supposed to be an alien. Do you feel like an alien in this world? We should. But yet enjoy going, wow, all right. But our eyes will see what's going on around us. We will be discerning. We will understand. We'll see. Why is it that I feel like an alien? Because we are, and we're chosen. But if we're not, if we're just kind of tracking along with the world, God's going to unpack that for us, so that will change in us. Yeah, but how do I do that when I'm in medicine? How do I do that if I'm a teacher? How do I do that if I'm a doctor? I'll show you. Because you'll become so enamored with me, your priority will still be me in the midst of how it's worked out and played out. You'll still care that there's somebody here who was taken, rescued out of human and labor trafficking that was then sent to prison again. You'll care about that. It'll so bother you, you see, because it bothers Jesus. And you'll see what Jesus is doing in them. It's not that, well, I just have to see the way she sees. No, it's not that. It's what is Jesus saying right at the moment? What are we part of? What are we doing? How can we support? So God is saying with the heart of Jesus, we see more. So that's why he has to refine us. That's why we have to go through that process. And it can take years. I'm living proof of that. It takes years for that to continue on for us many times. It's a process. But the Lord says, jump in it, want it, engage it. And if it gets uncomfortable, if you're feeling the fire, that's a good thing. But see Jesus in the midst of it. If you can see Jesus in the midst of it, oh man, that is like, whoa, I get this. Now I see. Ah. Okay, so verse 2 is really strong. Because verse 3 follows it and says, blessed be God the Father. Okay, so because of the foreknowledge of God in verse 2, now we're going to bless God. Because here's the gospel. We're chosen as aliens and we get to be sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Come on, how cool is that? Lord, where have I not seen that? Where is that not important to me? Why? Show me. And he's going to. We don't need something slick to show us this. This is slick enough. The word of God, and then we have helps along the side. But the word of God is strong and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And the Lord's saying, be in the word and let it work for you. It'll transform you. You want to be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Let the word work. Because we'll be driven into worship passionately. It's like, oh my gosh. Because we're not just singing to convince ourselves anymore. We're singing to him. We're ministering to him. I am here to minister to you. I am here, Holy Spirit, for you to be made known and for you to increase. You're drawn to my worship because I'm so in love with you. You have chosen us. I understand that this is who you are, and I'm living for you imperfectly, but my heart's after you. You know, that kind of heart, pursuing the Lord rather than, oh, this is so, I just feel so yucky. It's pursuing. We're in a state of pursuit. As corny as it might sound, that is why we haven't changed the name of our conference, Relentless Pursuit. People are now using that name, by the way. I'll swear, it's kind of funny. We've had it for years, but I don't care. It's not about a name. But the idea is we are to pursue the one who's been pursuing us and isn't stopping. That's what this is saying. He's pursuing us. So he's going to unpack and open our eyes and show us line by line where these things have held us. And we're going to find out what idols in our life are. We're going to find out more about these things. And instead of going, oh, no, it'll be, oh, Jesus, I didn't see. Forgive me. This is the state of repentance that we live in, or we can. It's a gift of repentance that God gives is a gift. Blessed be the Father. And I'm going to unpack that more another day because there's not time here. But this should be our joy. But blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again. Lord, what part of this is, you know, many times, let me just tell you this, many times we'll go to a place or we'll read a book and go, I need to declare that. Okay, I'm going to declare and I'm going to decree. This is true. This is true. And someday I might believe it. But do you know what's missing sometimes in that? That when we declare and we decree, if we realize what that has been that hasn't risen up in us to enable us to declare and decree. In other words, we've not received the grace that was given to us. And there has been sin in our life where we haven't been able to do so. We can say, Jesus, blessed be your name. Look what you've done. And we fall deeper in love with him. And then the chains come off. It's a way of repentance. But some people are afraid to say it. We're not. Because I need it. I need to go to the Lord and I don't feel condemned. Like, yeah, I did that one. Yeah, I did that one. Yeah, I did that one. That's how you get stuck or stay stuck. Okay, there's a way out. But the way of escape is really beautiful and it's lasting. And this is where maturity will come. Maturity in Jesus is what he's looking for. Okay. He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we sang it out today. For to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What? And we're protected by the power of God and this inheritance in verse 5. Through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Oh my gosh, God, are you kidding me? I don't really know what that means, but are you kidding me? I want to know what that means because the next verse says, I have to greatly rejoice. How can I greatly rejoice if I haven't spent time pondering and receiving? Really? Okay, it says I greatly rejoice. Sorry I didn't rejoice. Forgive me. What? Everything is put out here for us to absorb because all of our sin was absorbed by Jesus on the cross. Absorbed. So he's made a way for us to receive through the word our great salvation, our inheritance, and then recognize that we don't live for that or that we do live for that without excuse more and more and more. Honestly, just a couple more verses. In this, you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Verse 6. Oh, you didn't put Amplified up. Okay. Can you put Amplified up for that? Changed it? Okay. Verse 7. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What? That sounds really important. Whoa, I better get that. Well, so are the first 5 verses, because they build, and they build, and they build. And now we have Peter saying, guess what? This is your salvation. This is who your papa is. And now you greatly rejoice. And there's probably going to be trial and tribulation because he's got to refine you. That's how it is. Let's see how this works. The blueprint from this book with the next one is just mind-blowing. May I suggest to you, as we're doing what we're encouraged to do, through this amazing opportunity, thank you, Josh, for this next year. May I encourage you with your time in addition to that, not in place of, because I am all about, I don't want to clarify that there's any misunderstanding, if that would be the case, that I believe these are really important sessions, really important times for us to be part of. And I see the reason for the way to spread this out for us, Josh's schedule, but for us, so that things can germinate and percolate and, you know, saturate and every other eight inside of us for a long period of time. But with that, enjoy the rest of the scripture, which we have plenty to read and do, because I know we can do both. We're doing both. So spend time and look at these two chapters, these two books, 1 Peter, 2 Peter specifically, along with Colossians and Philippians. When you go to Brazil and you talk to one of the papas over the whole country, and he's about doing backflips, not really, because, oh my gosh, Mary, it's God's saying the same thing here. Even the same verses. This is purification time. This is refiner's fire time. This is the time of repentance. Oh, the glory of God is being released this way. It's like this is what God's doing and saying. But he's restoring our foundations. Because if they're shaky and trials come, tribulations come. But many of us have gone through trials and tribulations, and the Lord is also increasing and purifying us. He's doing that. Embrace that. Don't fight the devil when the Lord's saying, here you go, what are you going to do with that? Go back and read and go back and spend the time. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8. Well, let me say verse 7. I didn't really read that one. So that the proof of your faith. Now remember, this faith was given to us in verse 1 and 2, right? Because we're chosen and we are aliens and we are here to obey in verse 2. According to the foreknowledge of God, this sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus because we've been sprinkled with his blood and we're walking in his grace and peace to the fullest measure. And he's caused us to be born again, verse 3, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, who came out of the grave, which we sang about today, and we need to as well. And here's why, to obtain an inheritance which doesn't leave, it's imperishable and undefiled, it won't fade away, and it's in heaven for all of us. Does that excite us? If you think about this, and which is protected by the power of God through faith, for this salvation ready to be revealed in the end, in the last time, are we really greatly rejoicing, verse 6? Even though we might have to suffer, if necessary, for some trials, maybe there'll be a new way of drawing an end in our life to fear, do you think? If faith is going to rise, fear has to leave. It's the only way. You have to confront that. We don't just say, fear, go. Okay, we change on the inside and fear starts fearing us even more. Or we recognize it and we're not changed in the atmosphere that's around us. We don't pick up the fear that's in the room. We're looking and realizing there's fear here. I don't like it. It's leaving here and it's going to be bound over here. And I'm going to recognize if it tries to come against me because, no, Jesus, if there's something else in here, get rid of that. And I want to repent. I want to be cleansed. I want to be refined. I want the refiner's fire more and more. I want that. This is a great place. So sometimes, you know, it might be, well, we feel stuck. But honestly, it's a place of refinement that's good. It's a good stuck. If I say, you know, if you don't take it wrongly, it's like, well, you can get out of that. Only through the process of God, through the refining process, and then taking the step forward and not being content to not. This is pursuing God, pursuing his ways, his kingdom blueprints laid out here. And then he lays it out again in 2 Peter chapter 1 and through the rest of the book. It's like, oh my gosh, guys, I'm telling you, eyes will be open to a new place, a new level. And then verse 6, you greatly rejoice. Greatly rejoice. Verse 7, so that the proof of your faith, hello, becoming like gold, be more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result, here's the end, result in the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus. It's still about Jesus. It's still about becoming like Jesus. It's still about becoming one with Jesus. It's still about being open with Jesus. Two people this week, well, one is, both are leaders, in essence, in Brazil, and they've come to us, and they've told us, I'm having intimate encounters with Jesus, but it's come through tears of refinement, and Jesus is showing up. Jesus is coming, literally, I mean spiritually, coming in their dreams, in their visions, in their house, at their dining room table. They're intimate. I was like, oh my gosh, I never knew this was possible, but it's coming through the presenting and through the refining fire. And recognizing the season and then taking steps to pursue him. And holiness is being birthed through their lives. The highway to holiness, they're on it. It's like, whoa, and they're just beginning. greatly rejoice with joy, inexpressible, full of glory. Verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. Oh my goodness. And it goes on and on. Maybe that's the point where fear stops having such a hold on us. Maybe that's the point where we feel, I'm in this process, but I'm filled with joy and I don't feel so stuck, so to speak. I feel like I just don't feel the joy. I can't rejoice. And that stuff doesn't stay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anything that would hinder that in this refining time that we're in around the world, because Jesus is coming back. He's looking for those who will prepare the way. This is how we prepare the way. If we don't know why we worship, why we are doing what we're doing, we're just feeling good about it and yelling and screaming and dancing, but it's not producing a change in us, then we're probably not receiving fully what God has for us to receive. If we're hungry, even hearing these words, I mean, there's some kind of hunger here, right? And you wouldn't be listening if not. Or you might be here in body, but you may not be listening. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully you're hearing. Because the Lord's speaking to me as I'm speaking to you. And he's saying, this is the season. This is the greatest season of your life. Greatest season right now. Because there is something that God is doing in us that he wants to. He wants it to last for the rest of our lives and increase and go from glory to glory to glory. That's why I show you pictures of Pastor Benjamin or the kids or why we're going back, you know? This is like, Lord, this is on a global scale, what you're saying. This is what he's saying around the world. Don't kid yourself. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. This is a time just like, oh my gosh, you're waking me up. I see. Okay? This is the outcome, obtaining as the outcome of your faith. Oh my goodness. I want to get to 13, but we need to read 10, 11, and 12 because you can't forget those. And they're just as important. So I'm going to read 10, 11, and 12, and then we're going to wrap this book up for now. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. There it is, things into which the angels long to look. Who are we to Jesus? Our worth and value. You want to know your identity in Christ? Don't just memorize the list. I am, I am, I am, I am. Walk with Jesus, and it will become reality in addition to I am, I am, I am, I am. It's right here. It's right. It's like, what? Even the angels are going, that one right there. That one is, it's got God inside, living and breathing, saying, I want what they have. I wish I could, but I'm not, because I'm a created being, and I'm not made in the image of God like they are. In other words, read the Bible from this perspective. Who are you, Papa? What? Who am I to you? That's the love. If people make a blanket statement and say, you just got to be in the arms of Daddy and let him love you, and everything changes. That's nice, and that's true. But it gets some meat behind that, honestly. Get it from the Word. Because what I just said about lay in Daddy's arms and let him love you is true. But get the meat of the Word so that you can understand why it's true, how it's true. Let it work for you. I said to one person this week, why don't you let the Word work for you? Oh, never thought of it that way. Let the Word work. I mean, that's why it's here. To change us in that process. Therefore, verse 13, prepare your minds for action. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Let me read it one more time. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Prepare your minds for action, not your feet, not your hands. prepare your mind for action. Verse 13. Can I say it again? Verse 13. Prepare your minds for action. This is part of renewing your mind. Okay? Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely. Keep sober in spirit, alert in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus as obedient children, verse 14. Oh my gosh. Do you love this? As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it's written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. Look at verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Oh, what? Work? Verse 17. Come on, let's look at this. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear. That's the spirit of the fear of the Lord right there during the time of your stay on earth. That's how we're to live. It's right there, right there. Verse 17, in my face, in your face. Look at it. So strong. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Jesus. Oh, gosh. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. Oh, who through him, verse 21, are believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, verse 22, in obedience to the truth. I wasn't going to read all this at all. This was not my plan. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Since you have, in obedience, verse 22, to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. But notice where that comes. There's 21 verses before that. We can't. We can't even love our, I can't love Pastor Bill in fullness without living out verses 1 through 21. Do you see that? Simplicity of the gospel. But most people run to verse 22 going, that's what I'm doing. I'm just loving the brethren. That's what we're doing. We're meeting for love of the brethren. We got to love the brethren. I got to love my family. I got to love my people. I've got to love. But the first 21 verses, we've not repented or been cleansed or purified or just said, Jesus, I'm getting this. It's about you, and I'm becoming about like you through this. This is who you are. This is who I'm becoming, and it's going to come out in this purified way. I will love my husband, my best friend, more fully and more... He loves this. More effectively, more desirously, more lovingly, the more in love with Jesus I really am. You want to have an end to any kind of problems anywhere? This is where it starts. For anything. We're not having problems. Not saying that. We're good. We're good, baby. Just saying. For as you've been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Are we on the floor yet? I wasn't going to read this. I've been having fun with it myself for years, and again, in recent times as well. Man, oh man, guys. I can't speak highly enough about it, about where our focus needs to be in this next season that we're in. Quickly, what time is it? Okay, 5 minutes. I'm out. You watch, it'll happen. The Second Peter, I wanna bring you somewhere. Go to Second Peter, guys. There's three chapters, but it will kill you. Read First Peter first. And Second Peter will come alive in a new way. Okay? Yes, for sure. Second Peter. Oh, the first chapter is beyond amazing because it tells us to pay attention. And it tells us to be diligent. Pay attention, be diligent. Pay attention, be diligent. Pay attention, be diligent. All the way through. And Peter's saying, you know what? I really want you guys to get this because I love you with such love that if you will receive this, my time on earth won't be wasted because I'm here to present you to Jesus. Pastor Benjamin is there in India to present people, to present to the Lord those that he has laid down and sacrificed his life for. It's like, poof. But he can't do that without becoming like him. But you'll see that in the first couple chapters here. It's just powerful. But let me just look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus, I would first repent and say, Jesus, have I not been a bondservant in your kingdom? I'm not a bondservant, am I? Oh my gosh. Well, I'm trying. I mean, look what I do. That's not what I said. It's not what this says. Jesus, I want to become like you. I want an understanding of what a bondservant is. Can you show me? Forgive me where I need to be forgiven. Show me what that is. Everybody's different, right? But take it seriously. Take the word of God seriously. To those who have received, and King James says, a genuine faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I challenged a friend this week and someone I'm close to. I said, where's your faith right now? I'm an ambassador for Jesus, okay? I'm looking at my own, but let's talk turkey here. What's going on? Is your faith genuine? What do you mean, is my faith genuine? Well, it came from Jesus, so what do you think he means by genuine faith and precious faith? Where are you in that right now? What are you doing? What's going on? How do you look at that? Well, sometimes every couple of days I think about it, or, yeah, you know, I'm not doing really well. Okay, well, that's between you and God, but at the same time, I'm not going to leave it at that. I'm going to give you a tool, because it's in the Word of God. And here's my suggestion, that you take word for word, line by line. It won't bring condemnation. It'll bring freedom and repent all the way through it. Line by line, verse by verse, like, oh my gosh. And that, you know what that's going to produce in us, guys? That's going to produce a grateful heart. That's going to produce a thankful spirit that we can't help but listen and pay attention. Honestly, it's like, we will see. We will recognize the places. We can't sing about it, you know, and go, oh, yeah, Jesus. And then over here, we're just, the fire is like, hey, whatever. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And everybody knows it. And the thing is, Jesus knows it. And he's saying, the same roar that you hear here, the same roar that you hear here, or ever, it needs to be heard wherever we are. That roar is what's going to set the captives free. Because that roar is going to release the supernatural. That roar is going to raise the dead. Pastor Benjamin's raising the dead, or people he's with. He didn't say him, but okay? The dead are being raised, so whatever that means. It's like, this is so important. The signs and wonders and the spiritual way of doing life in the kingdom will speak to those who don't know Christ. It will. And even the ones who do will be shaken out of complacency because they'll see the genuine. See the genuine. Father, I just thank you for today. Just, Father, confined to time. I'm not in India here, so I gotta roll with it, Jesus. But I believe it's for a good purpose. So I thank you, Father, for this. And Father, May this little attempt, this meager attempt, God, to open our eyes to the call from you and those who've gone before us to be diligent and pursue you, realizing, God, that if we allow our character to be burned in the way of the cross, that we won't stumble. Your word promises that in 2 Peter chapter 1. Scary to read it, but oh God, show us the way. You've given us a treasure map, but more than that, it's not a tangible road map. It's a love letter of your great love for us. You love us so much. You want us to realize that. And that's how we become like you. That's the truth. Lord, change us. We can't change ourselves inside. We can't. We want to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Help us, God. Draw us continuously by your love. Thank you, God, that we'll understand the real secrets of killing kryptonite, which are beautifully laid out. But also, Father, we will become saturated. We will become lovers and pursuers of you through your word. In addition, with that, together, Lord, let it be in greater measure so we can go everywhere and say, be healed, and people are healed. Be delivered, and they're delivered. Come up, and they're set free. God, let it be. That will release your power, and that brings you glory. Thank you, Lord. We live to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, for those of you who are able to receive the fullness of this, God bless you. Thank you for sitting here and listening and receiving today. Ponder it. I know it's a big day for download because we're going over for those who are in this. And Howard, did you want to say something, Josh, about anything for today? If something's on your heart. Because I'm not spending time here where people are coming up at the altar and we're praying and working through things for the reason that we have this opportunity today. And we're going to take advantage of that today. It's not always going to be like this every time. But today, I'm asking that you will consider these words. You can come up, Josh. You can consider these words that I've offered you and take these personal challenges. And let's see what God will do for us individually.